20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast, but you know that already. What you also know is that it's Tuesday, which means we're being joined by Justice Mosqueda. You can find him, of course, on acmepackingcompany.com and on social media at JUMOSQ. Justice, it is always lovely talking to you. How the heck are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. What'd you do for Mother's Day?
Mother's Day, we actually just had a pretty low-key day. We had, so a couple things. We had two soccer games on Saturday, and then Saturday night, my wife and I went up to Door County, which is gorgeous, amazing. We stayed the night in Door County, came back Sunday morning, picked up the kids, went to another soccer game, and then kind of celebrated Mother's Day that night. So it was a pretty, it was nice, but some soccer, some getaway time. It was perfect. How about you?
Yeah, saw my mom, saw my grandma. Stayed with my girlfriend's family. Addie's birthday, my girlfriend, is like a week before Mother's Day. And then her aunt's birthday was on Mother's Day. So I've just been busy running around like a chicken with my head cut off. The NFL team's talking about how it wants to like add two more weeks, right? For the Super Bowl and stuff. If we do the two more weeks thing, please do not add them to drafts. If we get draft season and the draft gets pushed two more weeks, your boy's in trouble. Your boy's very much in trouble. Like, there's no way I can live it down. So, let's not do that.
I think they'll do that, but you never quite know with the NFL. What's more Mother's Day than the NFL draft on Mother's Day? I think that's what all the moms want is NFL draft on Mother's Day would be perfect.
But we love holidays. We love spending the holidays with the NFL, right?
Indoctrinating
everyone else. Yeah.
Every holiday needs to have a NFL theme to it. So Halloween can be the trade deadline. We've got the Super Bowl can be on what, President's Day now or Valentine's Day. Super Bowl and Valentine's Day is perfect. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to work this in NFL. Yes, it is going to get just crazy and crazier if they do end up pushing it two more weeks, but it'll be interesting to see how they kind of make that work. All right. There's only one place where we can start off, Justice. There's no other place that we could possibly start than with the fact that the Packers have made it official and signed Taylor Elgersma to the active roster. Marquise Hayes, I'm sorry. We hardly knew ye. Marquise Hayes is no longer on the team. They went from 17 offensive linemen to somehow now down to only 16 offensive linemen. Don't know how they're going to survive the rigors of the offseason with only 16, but Marquise Hayes is gone. Taylor Elgersma is officially a Green Bay Packer. Justice, your thoughts?
I didn't realize until I read some of the Canadian publications. This is the first Canadian. So the first U Sports, which is like their version of NCAA, quarterback who's been signed to the NFL since 1987. I didn't realize it had been that long. Because there's guys who pop up, right? Like we had the BC kid who got drafted by like the Lions last year, all that stuff. I would have thought they would have produced a quarterback more recently than that. But yeah, I mean, we're talking almost four decades. First one to come in. So yeah, kind of cool. Definitely has tools like that. That was something that popped up on tape. Again, I only watched the cut ups of his all 22 stuff that he posted himself on like YouTube during the pre-draft process. Cause he was a visitor. Seemed like, I want to know what the contract looks like because I want to know what they were negotiating for 2 weeks.
Agreed.
He didn't go into the Bills rookie minicamp where he had another tryout. So he must have liked Green Bay. Green Bay got to him first, and he's here now. I wouldn't be surprised if he was QB3 on the practice squad instead of Sean Clifford. I guess we'll have to watch preseason games to figure that out. But I don't think it's going to make a real dent on this Packers season in any sort of way. If he's playing, bad things have happened otherwise on the roster.
No, for sure.
But I think it should be. I mean, I assume the Packers aren't going to be playing very much with their starters in the preseason. So I'm hoping to at least get some fun, weird Elgersma and Sean Clifford battles down the stretch.
Did you hear did we talk about my hot take last week?
No, I don't think so. Did it involve a quarterback?
The Packers are going to go undefeated in preseason. They're set up. They're totally set up. They've got a full stable of running backs that look really, really good, obviously. Like Lloyd should play a bunch. Chris Brooks, Emmanuel Wilson. They've got complete depth along the offensive line. So even if like it's guys like, you know, Belton is going to probably play a bunch. Jordan Morgan should probably play a bunch. I would guess like Monk and Glover and Telford and those guys should play. We talked about it. Colin Oliver is going to have like 1,000 sacks in preseason. They've got wide receiver depth for days, like their fourth, fifth, sixth wide receivers. I mean, Matthew Golden and Savion Williams and these guys should play a ton. And then like Malik Willis is going to be your starter, probably playing a decent amount. Like this is his opportunity to go and actually like show himself. Hopefully this is the only time we get to see Malik Willis other than kneeling down the ball at end of games and huge blowouts. Like they're going to just absolutely annihilate teams in preseason, Justice. Taylor Algersma.
Hang the banner. Yeah, let's
that's
do it.
That's exactly what I tweeted. I said, hang the banner. I literally tweeted that exact phrase.
We got one of those in Portland. We won the, Summer League? We won the Summer League Championship 1 year, a couple years ago. So I have a shirt that says that. Yeah, hang the banner. Why not? I mean, the Lions keep hanging banners every single time they win the NFC North, right? So
yes, they do. Yes, they do. Bucks got an in-season championship last year. That's the only thing they're going to have for the Dame Giannis era is in-season tournament champions.
Giannis for the second pick. Do you do it? The first, you do it. Second, do it?
Like just the first or second round pick? Like no chance. No chance. Cooper Flagg is not enough. No, we're talking like all the picks, all the swaps, all the young players. No, this is going to take, it's going to take an army to get.
I don't know anything about the NBA, so.
No, the Pittsburgh.
Just Bucks fans are just like, gosh, dang it, man.
San Antonio definitely with the adding the second pick now to some of the young stuff they have, plus a build. They have like literally like 62 picks or something crazy in like the next like 7 years that they can trade. It's like something absurd. So yeah, there's definitely ammunition there if some teams might want to make a run. But just the first or second pick, no, that's not gonna do it on either fortunately for Milwaukee's case. All right, let's get to the maybe more interesting one that I wanted to bring up, which was tweeted out by Adam Schefter tonight, which was sort of a weirdo, bizarro, interesting, and I got to find it now, wordage/verbiage of what was going on with
two misspellings in there.
Oh,
in the tweet. Adam, I believe he misspelled both Gutekunst and Rosenhaus. So interesting to get both things wrong. He was sprinting to get that tweet out.
I guess so. So, all right. Per Adam Schefter, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst is what he wrote, but Gutekunst met last week with Jaden Reed's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, to clarify the wide receiver status in Green Bay after the team drafted Matthew Golden and Savion Williams. The team said it will not affect Reed's status as its top wide receiver per source. I don't know what the heck to make of that. Like, what do you make of this, Justice?
I don't make too much of it. General managers, especially with agents as powerful as Rosenhaus, are usually in communication in general. Rosenhaus was Aaron Jones's agent, for example. He's Javon Bullard's agent. He's there's someone else on the roster. I forget whose name it was. Because I wrote it up earlier. But again, the crux of it is not surprising these guys are talking. Not surprising his client came up in conversation. Colin Oliver. Oh, and Brandon McManus. Yeah, so we got a bunch of Rosenhaus guys. And Rosenhaus is kind of... Rosenhaus gets branded in a weird way, but he does have a lot of fans. Like, he does take on guys who are a little bit of headaches, right? But general managers really like him because he's... I don't know if you would sign with him because of this. Like, it sounds like the guy you don't want representing you, but he's so busy because he's putting out so many fires constantly that he can't really dilly-dally. So he's a pretty straight shooter. And a lot of people like that about him. Like, Belichick really liked that about him. They kind of connected that way. But, like, you'll do things like, I remember being down at the Combine, and all the Jalen Carter stuff starts coming out, and he's, you know, busting down doors in Indianapolis, and he's screaming on the phone in front of, you know, everyone in the media, right? They're like, yep, there goes Drew. Like, Drew's just putting out fires constantly. Drew has no time for lies. He wants to know, like, straight to the point. So I think, you know, a little bit of context of just like, hey, so does this mean you're just not going to pay Jaden Reed? And Goot saying, you know, hey, this isn't really going to impact him. He's playing in the slot. His role isn't really changed. Isn't surprising to me. Top receiver. Again, I don't know what the framing there is like. Like, he was the most productive receiver in the team last year. He could keep the same role. Does that mean he's still going to be the most productive receiver? I don't know. Jaden Reed was a guy who, I think he played like 53% of his snaps his rookie year. Last year, it was like 62%. He's still a guy who's really only going to get on the field 11 personnel in the slot. He's going to make most of his hay beating zone coverage. That's not to say, you know, he's not a good football player or anything like that. But I do think that, yeah, you know, don't look at top receiver and say like wide receiver. Like that's not what we're doing.
We broke it. It's over. Packers have a wide receiver one. Justice, it's tweeted out there.
Of course, yeah. I've seen like fantasy accounts like aggregate it already, and there's, you know, you get the like the stocks up emoji. I've seen there's one, I can't remember, I think it's like Coach Speak Index or something like that. It's some like Twitter account that like gauges whether coaches lie or not in press conferences, and they brought up, you know, the Matt LaFleur wide receiver one makes me want to puke quote already. Like, thug, it's May 12th. Hang out with your family. Like, there are better things to be doing right now than this. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it does kind of show a little bit of the difference now than like even maybe not 10 years ago, but like 15 years ago in terms of like the draft and develop strategy, right? Where, I mean, we saw it last year, right? A wide receiver went down. Dobbs doesn't think he's going to get targeted enough during the game, during, you know, a week of practice, and just doesn't end up leaving his apartment, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not feeling great about it. I mean, these guys are eyeballing. That second contract is a big deal, right? And it's a weird thing where it's like your whole life leads up to that second contract. Draft day, all that stuff, that's great. What really matters is that second contract. And everyone wants to kind of protect that. So I don't doubt that if Reed would have gotten a bad answer, Rosenhaus would be like, well, he wants to go play for the Steelers or something like that. Right. Cause I think that's a really interesting timing thing. If you remember his rookie year, Jaden Reed's rookie year, Tomlin was like, wax poetically about how Reed was like the number one slot receiver on their draft board, that draft class, in the same way that, you know, Goot kind of did it with DK, right? You know, after the season where he's like, we almost took DK with the Elgton Jenkins pick. So I think, you know, Rosenhaus was like, hold up, let me get my ducks in order right now, go have lunch with my old pal Brian. But I don't think it's a big deal. I do think people don't like, they just want everyone to compete all the time and be crabs in a bucket, and the best one shows up and, you know, he climbs to the top and that's the one that gets paid. But there's a lot of dead crabs in that bucket afterwards once that one escapes, right? Yeah. I think all these guys are trying to protect themselves and say like, hey man, we don't want to be left in here. I want to make sure that if I play well, that I still have a future here. And if not, I would like to leverage my way to a different situation. I just don't know. Reed's case is really interesting, man, because he plays such a limited role in this offense. It's hard for me to imagine that the team is going to pay what market rate for a Jaden Reed is going to be on the open market, or could get on the open market.
So let me ask you this though.
We're years away.
Does that piece matter though? Because to me, if I'm Jaden Reed, but not even that part. Just not even that part necessarily. I don't care if that paycheck comes from Green Bay or if it comes from another team as much. I just need to be put in the position where I'm going to get enough playing time to go and show myself so that. Right. I mean, what's Shakir just got $15 million in Buffalo, right? So like, I feel pretty secure as Jaden Reed that I'm going to get a pretty solid bag as long as I have that opportunity open to me. So I guess I'm less concerned of like, is my mouth going to get fed in Green Bay My bigger concern is, am I going to get fed enough in Green Bay with targets and playing time so that I can show that? So whether it's Green Bay or some other team, I get that $18, $19 million contract on the open market.
Yeah. And I think that's the clarity that Rosenhaus is probably trying to get, right?
Yeah.
Where it's, hey, what does this mean for his role? And it's, his role didn't change. Nothing. He's still playing in the slot. He's still playing in the slot for us. So
it is interesting though that this came out immediately. And again, it probably maybe would have anyway. But remember, Steno today was asked about Jaden Reed, or just like Jaden Reed and his playing time and stuff like that. And didn't Steno say something to the extent of like, yeah, Savion Williams can do some of that stuff, and Matthew Golden can do some of that stuff. Like, they did. He did just kind of talk today about like, yeah, we think Golden and Savion can do a lot of that stuff that Jaden's been doing. But maybe I'm misremembering, but it felt like they said something to that effect today.
Yeah, the Packers' plan of, we want to lock guys into long contracts and make them all compete against each other, and then we have the flexibility to release players whenever we want is interesting, especially like some of these things are changing, man. So we just talked about like that situation. The second round contracts is a thing that's a pretty big deal. Like Quay got what, 3 years guaranteed on his deal, and then Javon Bullard, it was basically like a 2 year guarantee. And now we're starting to see guys like Higgins, the kid from Houston, Jaden Higgins, the wide receiver from Iowa State, he got a fully guaranteed second year deal. So, you know, when on paper, rookie contracts should be very easy. The NFL and the NFLPA have kind of agreed with the salary scale that has been agreed to in like the CBA. So as far as dollar figures that actually hit your bank account, that's kind of settled. But there are other things you could argue about, right? So you can argue about how much of that salary is fully guaranteed. Right. There's a certain amount of salary that you can make, and that's been capped by the league. But how much of that do I get no matter what? Right. If Jaden Higgins, anything short of him doing a non-medical retirement, he's getting every single dollar of that deal from Houston. Right. There are situations like offset clauses where, you know, Andy, I pay you $10. I cut you. You go make $5 somewhere else. Do you then still only make that $10, or are you getting the 15, right?
Yeah.
And if you make that $5 from them, do I get the $5 back from you, right? That's, you know, a part of these negotiations. I know the reporting on the Bengals stuff, because Shamar Stewart's sitting out in camp right now, that has to do with injury waivers, basically, in training camp. So, like, if you remember back in the day when Dante Fowler, he was, I think, like the third overall pick of the draft, he ended up tearing his ACL in rookie minicamp. And the Jaguars just gave him the full contract, right?
Yeah.
That he was due. The Bengals basically were like, yeah, practice at your own risk to Shamar Stewart. And that's why Shamar Stewart is, you know, sticking out like a sore thumb, being like the only guy who hasn't signed anywhere. I think their second round pick is also sitting out. Amarius Mims, their first round pick from last year, was the last first round pick who ended up signing in camp last year, you know, league wide. So, yeah,
if you're an agent in the first or second round, you just got to be thinking, not Bengals, not Bengals, not Bengals, not Bengals, like as you're trying to avoid it.
Buddy, it's not even the second round. It's like across the board. He's not, Mike Brown is not a cool guy to hang around. I mean, the Trey Hendrickson stuff, right? Where they're like, haven't really talked to him in a month. He said we were good and then we just didn't talk. So, yeah, I mean, it just sucks. I mean, they kind of run it like baseball team, kind of. I mean, it's always funny, you know, being a football guy watching baseball and everyone's, you know, pretending to be poor. And it's like, we need a salary cap. It's like, you guys need a salary floor. You guys need to start spending money. You guys have it. Grow up. That's kind of how the Bengals operate. And they're pretty unique in terms of that. Yeah, like, even the Raiders, like, people talk about the Raiders being like cash poor and stuff. And I think, you know, being in Las Vegas and getting out of, you know, the Coliseum and their stadium deal and stuff, and Oakland has definitely helped. But no one's ever questioned whether Al Davis could spend it. He could spend it. It's just how much can he spend with Mike Brown and the Bengals. It's like, he's got it. He doesn't want to spend it. He wants to keep it. So yeah, you run into some problems.
You very much do. I just want to go back to Jaden Reed for just a second. First of all, final nine games of last season for Jaden Reed, 23 catches, 283 yards, three touchdowns over his final nine games. That comes out to 2.5 catches for 31 yards per game with a touchdown every three games, basically. Not great. Not exactly what you were hoping for. I was looking at that the other day and just kind of stunned at how much of a wall he hit after being so successful as a rookie and then really successful over the first half of year two, and then just hit a wall for whatever reason in the second half of last year. So a big bounce back from him would be nice. Also, do you feel like, just kind of going back to the tweet for a moment and then kind of tying it with the whole Romeo Doubs situation from a season ago, you were kind of alluding to it, I think, a little bit, but is there some sort of anxiety / whatever you want to call it in that wide receiver room of like, hey, there's too many mouths to feed here. There's too much competition. And then like a step beyond that, from a team building standpoint, I know it's like BPA and take who's best available on the board and things like that. Is there a point where this becomes almost a problem because of this very thing where now maybe Jaden's a little bit jaded, maybe Romeo Doubs is a little bit jaded. And yeah, from a Packers standpoint, it's like, oh my goodness, we have all these guys and anyone could step up on any given week. But is there a point in time where it almost becomes a detriment where guys are now just looking over their shoulder or frustrated because of the entire situation?
Yeah. I mean, have you seen what we do with quarterbacks with this franchise?
I've noticed it a couple times. Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I think the franchise wants to, like the club, right? They want to add competition and you have to prove your worth. And that makes people not feel great sometimes. They don't want to prove their worth. They would like to just be able to cash it in immediately, take the safe thing, right? I mean, think of it from like a player's perspective. How many times do we have to see guys sign these contracts a year early, not make it to free agency, and then by the time they would have been up for free agency, the deal that they would have gotten would have been worth millions and millions more, right? Like think of the Elgton Jenkins contract. He signed that, and then almost immediately the guard market blew up and he was almost immediately a steal for the Packers, right? And a lot of that is just being conservative with your career. So once you see two top 100 picks get drafted at your position, you're like, uh-oh, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure Doubs, Reed, and Watson are all telling themselves, well, they're not going to beat me out. I'm good. I'm going to be able to, you know, weather the storm. Two of them are probably going to be wrong, right? Yeah. So, you know, you could throw Wicks in there at this point too. And,
for sure.
You know, considering the way that these people talk about these as like 4-year rookie contracts and stuff like that. And for the Packers, it still kind of is. But if you look around league wide, like once you're up for an extension, a lot of teams are just paying the extension immediately, like right after year three. Look at what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing. They're paying guys as quick as they can. So, we're talking about, you know, Jaden Reed potentially fighting for, or at least talking extension in, it's May, let me do math, like 12 months? Or not 12 months, 7 months? So, yeah, right after the season. So, I mean, I get why he's eyeballing it, right? That next deal is going to be worth a whole lot more than what he's made for, you know, that his second contract is going to be worth more than what he'll make the rest of his life combined. Right.
Yeah.
So
in all the thing.
So
big time. And I think he'll get it too. Like again, and I think that's why there's much ado about nothing is like you said, his role really hasn't changed. He's still gonna have a ton of opportunity and he still should be fed within this offense. And I don't foresee it really being a problem, at least as of now, which is basically what the tweet said is like there's no concern, Reed's still in the same spot, which is kind of what we all expected.
Yeah.
It's just also like, what was your initial thought when you saw a tweet about Jaden Reed? Like, what was the thing that was going, like the Packers and Brian Gutekunst and Jaden Reed have met? Like, it's like the opening of that was like, oh my God, where is this going? Cause I don't know where this is going. And then it was like, oh, it's just fine. Okay.
It was like, I went extension time and then immediately went to Steelers. Cause I remembered the Tomlin quote and obviously all the things that are happening with Pittsburgh. And I'm like, oh crap. Is he on the move? And then I saw him misspell two different names. I was like, oh, this seems like kind of nothing. To be honest, I mean, a normal conversation that general managers and agents have in May. It's not, I don't know what, like, do you know what the average fan thinks of like a general manager talking to an agent and like what the relationship is? Like they're in communication throughout the year. I mean, it's not like we only talk when we're doing negotiations and stuff. That's not really how it works.
Yeah. These guys talk quite a bit throughout the course of the season through a variety of different things. So yeah, it just felt, the whole thing just felt like out of complete nowhere. And like even Domovsky tweeted, like, I'm not really sure why this was needed, but no, here you go. Yeah. What can you do? Let's go over these press conferences today. I think a variety of just like little tidbits that came out of these that were kind of interesting. Let's start with the Rich Bisaccia one. Not a ton of intrigue here other than I had a couple things. Number one, it was really interesting how he said like he felt he let Matt in the team down in his special teams role. Just obviously very self-reflective and some of the big plays, obviously the Keyshawn fumble, the Brandon McManus missed kick in the playoff game, the big play against Chicago the week before that were a few of the ones that he mentioned, but just kind of very introspective and saying like, hey, I let the team down and I've got to do better, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I think Bisaccia as assistant head coach has been very valuable. I think Bisaccia, the special teams coordinator, has been somewhat disappointing so far. And then I thought the other key takeaway was Keyshawn Nixon still in the mix as a returner, which wasn't super surprising, but got a little bit of confirmation on that as well.
Yeah, for sure. That was my biggest takeaway, was the Keyshawn still being in the mix thing. As far as Rich as a special teams coordinator, I do think you almost have to like separate both the good and the bad from like actual returners, actual specialists, and then the rest of the game. So like if I'm evaluating a special teams coordinator, I really care about kick coverage and protections, and that's really it. And you know, your returner is as good as you want him to be, right? If you want to have your star back there, go put your star back there. But if you don't want to, then you know, you're kind of limiting them out there. And then as far as the pat, like their punting game has been good. I'm not really worried about that. I know the holding game has been a little shaky, and then kicker was bad for a long time and they didn't have any money to spend anywhere. But once they kind of got it set straight with McManus, that's fine. Anders Carlson was a pick that never really made a whole lot of sense to me, just because I'm just wired like analytically. If you look at the numbers, like by far worst kicker drafted in, you know, decades, just from a raw numbers perspective. So that was a big like, well, let's see if Bisaccia can actually coach it out of these kickers. And it seems like you got to buy one. You got to buy one for Rich. He's not a kick specialist, which there are people who do that. There are special teams is weird, man. Some of these guys have never kicked a ball in their life, and they're special teams coordinators. Because what you're doing is, you know, you're almost like an extension of like the strength and conditioning program to a certain extent, and like getting young guys ready to play NFL football. And you know, you kind of outsource the kicking stuff to the guys that they either go to in the summer, or you might have like some teams like the Baltimore Ravens, they have like a kick specialist that comes in and helps them out.
They're going to really hold that against
them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Goodness gracious. Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of my takeaway with the Bisaccia stuff too. It was mostly the Keyshawn, like he's still in the mix. So like, okay, that's good to know. I also saw he said that they're going to get another floater. Is that what he said?
Another what?
So you have a floater.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Floater. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So from the way he talked about it, because this is different than how we talked about it at XFL. And that's how I know these kick return rules.
Yes.
The way he talked about the floater was basically the two returners that you have back there. So they're going to have like a third guy who can just kind of like hang out and is not part of, you know, the line of scrimmage.
I think
that's what he was saying, but he said that the league is going to meet next week or like within like 2 weeks to kind of finalize this stuff. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued to see how that kind of affects things. I'm just hopeful. This is like I'm actually semi-hopeful that we might get returns this year, Justice, and that it should actually be.
Well, if they're coming out to the 35 or whatever, I mean, we're gonna get more returns.
Yeah, you would certainly think so and hope so. So it should be a little bit more entertaining than it has been in the past, and I think that's going to be a good thing. Let's save Halfley's for the end, even though it was a little bit out of order here. Let's go to Steno next. Let's start with the Elgton Jenkins stuff, because he was asked if Jenkins was sort of unsatisfied with the move to center, said he thinks he's open to it, but that's not the reason he's not at the voluntary activities. But we didn't get the exact reason why he wasn't at the voluntary activities. I don't know if it was due to the whole Atlanta thing. I'm not sure, but he is not there. And we don't exactly know why, but it is not due to not wanting to play center, allegedly.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. Honestly, I can't imagine that he's mad. You know, he's getting a
decent amount of money.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I know some people have presented that. I can't imagine that he'd be frustrated with the situation. I mean, centers are getting paid damn near as much as guards, especially if he's going to be anywhere near as good as we all think that he's going to be. So, yeah, maybe he's just dealing with the TMZ fallout. Getting your money back from a strip club. I've never heard that one. I've never heard that one, Andy.
Elgton Jenkins, man. He can do a variety of different
things. That's the guy you want protecting your quarterback, isn't it?
What's that?
That's a guy you want protecting your quarterback, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time.
Get the money back from a strip club? Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of that.
Everything, do what you need to do. Yeah, you don't want to mess with that guy. Like, if that guy finds a way to get his money back, I don't want to mess with him. Like, I'm trusting him to do whatever he needs to do. No, I'm right there with you. All right, the other thing is that, and this was another interesting one, Steno said that there are, you know, open competitions for both tackle spots. Now, I didn't make much of this, but I just thought it was interesting that he said, it feels more of like we have to say it so that, like, you know, Rashid knows that, yeah, there's open competition everywhere, but I don't know. What did you make of it?
It doesn't change my mind very much. I'm still of the opinion, I think Belton is going to compete at right guard with Sean Ryan. And then at left tackle, it's going to be Jordan Morgan and Rashid Walker. I think those are the competitions that are going to happen. And again, I mean, we want to talk about, I mean, he said, you know, Rashid's been nothing but understanding, I guess is probably the best way to put it, during the whole process. But like, if we're talking about, you know, competition being added and guys' money being on the line and all that stuff, Rashid is like, we got like a $20 million gulf between if he starts and if he doesn't start this season, right? Yeah. In terms of what he's going to be able to get on the open market. Like, fire under the ass meter, he's on 11 this whole offseason. So if he doesn't win that left tackle job, it's going to cost him a ton of money. Not just necessarily from the Packers, but I just mean from the league. I mean, once Dan Moore was able to get 20 million per year, that's a crazy jump for a low average tackle in the NFL.
What's your level of concern on a Rashid Walker Holden and or like just being, you know, if he doesn't win the job, saying, all right, that's fine, trade me. Like that.
Yeah, man, dude, that's life now. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, everyone's getting 3-year extensions in their third year, right after their third year, all that. I mean, I don't know the guy, right? Like, I don't have any inside information or anything like that. But like, yeah, if he was pissed that he lost the starting job after, you know, starting for what, 2 years, and doing it at a decent level, like, it's not like he was, you know, maybe he's not like, you want to pay him to be left tackle of the future, pay him like a top five offensive lineman in the league, but it's not like anyone was clamoring for him to get replaced in the draft or anything like that either. So,
no.
Yeah, I mean, I would get why you would be frustrated, right? I mean, I think that makes sense for everyone. I will say, like, if you were thinking that and you're not happy with, you know, having to compete with Jordan Morgan, you probably should have started complaining about that a lot earlier, because it's a lot harder to trade you away after the draft. And it's a lot harder to get you ready for an NFL season once you get traded somewhere else, right?
True.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how I see it.
No, I'm right there with you. All right, let's get to the two tight ends. They want to get Tucker Kraft the ball more, which was not, again, surprising, but just noteworthy nonetheless. And then when asked about play action, just interesting that one of the first thing basically that Steno said was, you know, getting Musgrave back, playing more 12 personnel, and they think a little bit more play action can kind of happen in that sort of alignment. So just interesting to hear that, you know, these two tight ends, it sounds like they're still very, well, of course, Kraft they are, but still very bullish on both of these tight ends.
Yeah. Their rookie year, I think the Packers played the third most 12 personnel snaps of any team in the NFL. And, you know, again, who knows what they were supposed to look like early on last season because of the Jordan Love injury, right? And how that adjusts, you know, everything goes kind of off script so early on in the year. And then, you know, Musgrave gets hurt again, all that stuff. I'm not surprised that that's kind of how they see it. I think, you know, ultimately this team, you know, whatever you want it to be, right? It's a different change from, you know, the McCarthy era stuff. I think they really do want to be a, you know, we're a 12 personnel, run the football first. When we throw, we take big shots and, you know, lean on the run game a little bit more than the passing game. And I know that that's not what Packers fans are used to because we're coming off of Rodgers and Favre, but I really do think that's kind of LaFleur's DNA. So
I love it. I'm totally all here for it. The only other thing that I took away, Luke Getsy working in the quarterback room, which is, again, not super surprising, but interesting nonetheless. Anything else you took away from Steno?
Nah, that was kind of it. I mean, he mentioned like Belton can play everywhere. Like, again, that's great. It's great clips to just say people are going to compete everywhere. We don't, Andy, know if there's going to be an offensive line come August, the way the Packers are talking about it, right? I think Belton's going to be a guard. But
I think so too.
I've been wrong before. Wouldn't be my first time.
I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, as long as Goody and LaFleur, especially they're here together, but probably as long as Goody's here, they're going to continue to draft versatility and they're not going to pigeonhole anyone at any one spot. And regardless, like, even if they decide, like, yep, Belton's a guard, like, he's still going to be a guard that can kick the tackle when needed or like,
yeah, in case, yeah, yeah, yeah,
right? Like, so like, they're just going to continue to draft versatile guys. And again, even if his best position isn't tackle and like they need tackles or whatever, like he could easily find himself at tackle still. So I don't know as much as it matters right now. And I know that they're going to do best five guys along the offensive line from now until probably the end of the LaFleur Goody era, which whenever that happens, then we'll pivot. But for now, it seems it's just going to be versatility everywhere.
Yep. We're going to be here in best five until the heat death of the universe. Yeah.
Whatever happens first. Yeah. Let's go to Jeff Hafley. A lot of interesting stuff from him as well. You were the first one that brought it to my attention. I thought he said initially Colin Oliver as an off-ball linebacker, but you caught it as a on-ball linebacker, which is very intriguing. And then also talked about DeMarcus Covington having experience in different fronts, in different, you know, kind of personnel packages, which putting those two together gets you kind of to an interesting jump to conclusion.
Yeah, are we running some 3-4 stuff this year?
Maybe.
I mean, they did some of the underfront stuff, right? Yep. Last year where they walked down the SAM, you reduced the defensive end. And when I say reduce, right, you're not playing the offensive tackle, you're just kicking into a tighter alignment, basically, inside shoulder of the tackle. So it's not like a true 3-4. It's kind of like shifted over a little bit, right? But yeah, I thought those two pieces of information back to back were really interesting. Because I wouldn't hate that. I mean, if you want to play LVN in a 4-eye, where he could be a little bit more of a, you know, use his length a little bit more, be more of a rundown guy than like a true pass rusher. And you have Oliver coming off the edge. Like,
sounds
good to me.
Pause, timeout. Build me your perfect 3-4 front and using the players on the Packers right now.
If we're in an under? So if we're in an under, which like basically everyone's alignment would be the same except for the DN kicks down and the Sam, you know, one of the outside linebackers walks down the line. So in either scheme, you know, a DN would be Rashawn Gary. Your D tackles, like three technique, right, would be Wyatt. Your nose would be Kenny. You'd have Cooper and Quay. As kind of like the stack backers, right? I think you want LVN as the other edge rusher in like a stack 4-3.
Sure.
And then if you're in an under, so he's reducing, he's going from outside shoulder of the tackle to inside shoulder of the tackle. I think you definitely want him in that role, right?
Yeah.
The Sam is where I think you would get interesting, right? Because I think Oliver, you'd want him
as the on the ball guy in the under front, hanging out over the tight end and stuff, rushing the passer. But I think if you're in like a stack where, you know, you just four man front, the three linebackers are off, I think you probably want McDuffie in that role. I don't think of Oliver as an every down linebacker. If you want to play him as the Sam in the under front, I mean, you're basically playing a 3-4 outside linebacker anyway,
right,
from your alignment and, you know, how close he would be to LVN. So that's kind of how I see it. I would hear others at stack 4-3 defensive end, the role that I had LVN in. I would hear others, you know, if you want to play Enagbare there, if you want to play
Brenton
there.
Yeah. Cox has got a lot of fans.
That's going to get clipped. Cox has got a lot of fans. I don't know if he's going to make the team. We'll see. They got to cut someone.
They do have to cut somebody. They don't have to. They kept six defensive ends last year, so they could theoretically, especially if they count Brinson as sort of a linebacker as well. Oliver is kind of a linebacker as well. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they you can basically do it as, Sorrell is Preston Smith, and Oliver is Mosby. Because when they kept six to start the season, everything else is the same. So, I mean, you can definitely find a way to do it. It just depends if they want to do it or not.
Yeah. I want to look at what their roster looked like. Maybe I'll look into that before we do our next one. I want to look at what their roster looked like going into week one, because I want to see what the numbers were like, because I don't think they carried six receivers and four running backs like they probably will.
So September 2nd would tell us. All right. So here's what it was, at least per our lads. Love and Willis at quarter. What do you want to know? Just the defensive ends, or which one do you want to know?
No, I kind of want to know all of it, because I want to see where the numbers are and we're shaving numbers off to keep these guys.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
We've got Malik Willis and Jordan Love at quarterback, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, and Emmanuel Wilson at running backs. So only three running backs.
So there's a number there, right?
Yep. Six wide receivers, Reed, Dobbs, Watson, Melton, Heath, and Wicks. You had five tackles, Tom, Telfort, Glover, Walker, and Dillard. Three guards, Jenkins, Ryan, and Jordan Morgan, assuming we're counting Morgan as a guard here. And then two centers, Jacob Monk and Josh Myers. So one through three, so four, they kept five, six, 10 offensive linemen. Yeah, 10 offensive linemen. Yep.
Okay. So we're balanced now. We're back to zero, right? We were down to back. We had too many offensive linemen. Okay, we're back to zero.
All right, we had six defensive ends, Preston, Rashawn, Enagbare, LVN, Brenton Cox, and Aaron Mosby. Five defensive tackles, Slayton, Clark, Wyatt, Brooks, and Wooden. Then you had five off-ball linebackers, McDuffie, Quay, Cooper, Hopper, and Eric Wilson. And you had five corners, Valentine, Stokes, Jair, Keyshawn, and Ballantyne, with five safeties, McKinney, Oladapo, Anderson, Williams, and Bullard, kicker, punter, long snapper.
Okay. So this is what it boils down to then, right? It's six linebacker, fourth running back, sixth the end.
You get one of them, right?
Yep.
You get one of them.
You get one.
So I bet it's five off-ball linebackers. Because I bet they do feel like they can use Oliver a little bit in a pinch. So I bet it's five off-ball linebackers. And then I think you're probably right. It probably comes, unless they only keep five wide receivers, like we talked about last week, where if they feel like they can cut all of those guys and get two of them back on the practice squad. So to me, it almost, I bet five off-ball linebackers, and it's more of you can keep two of six wide receivers, four running backs, six defensive ends. You can do two of those.
Okay.
That's where I'm at right now.
There's a roster math.
Unless you want to keep six corners, then things get a little bit more complicated. No, as well.
I can't find a sixth. So you're good.
All right.
I don't know if I can find a fifth. So,
all right, let's go back to the presser here. So the next one, Edrian Cooper, 240 pounds of Edrian Cooper. Is this good, bad, or indifferent?
Probably good if you're going to play him on a down-to-down basis. So you're going to have him in these nickel fronts where you're inviting the run and all that stuff. I can't imagine
I don't think you'd have as much pep in his step if it was bad weight, right? I think I could have some fun putting on 10 pounds. Probably not the same 10 pounds that Edgerrin Cooper is putting on. So yeah, I'm assuming it's good stuff.
How much of a 40 are you willing to sacrifice? 40 time of, are you willing to sacrifice for Edgerrin Cooper for an additional 11 pounds of mass?
I would like to not. I'd like to keep him fast. I mean, that's that's what I'm here for. I'd like to keep Edgerrin Cooper as fast as possible, please. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if there is any sort of, if he is 11 pounds heavier, whatever it ends up being, if there is any loss in speed there, if he's the same guy. But my guess is I'm with you. That's probably indifferent slash I'm not concerned about it, but I'm just intrigued. I'm intrigued to see what 240 pound Edgerrin Cooper looks like. Can you imagine if he got faster with that? Like just now he's just hulked up and he's faster.
Oh man.
I'm in. All right. Nate Hobbs officially outside inside. I don't think anything really surprising there. Defensive tackle. He was very bullish about his guys at defensive tackle, like almost like taken aback of like, we've got guys, like not even counting the rookies. He was basically like, we got Kenny, we got Wooden, we've got Brooks, we've got Wyatt. What else do we need? I was a little, I mean, not that he had his guys' backs, of course, like that doesn't surprise me, but just like completely unquestionably, like we've got our guys there. Like it was like a silly question. I was a little bit like, that's a lot of confidence. I like it.
Yeah. Again, I think that there were scenarios where, you know, Wooden maybe is not making this team, right? Same. Depending on how the draft would have played out. And they brought in under tackles, right? They brought in Walter Nolan. They brought in TJ Sanders. They brought in a nose tackle and Tyleek Williams in the pre-draft process. So yeah, I'm not buying it. You can't sell me, Halfley. Don't lie to me. You're staying up every night, same way I am. Being like, if Kenny goes down, dog, who is going to play nose tackle?
What the hell are we going to do? It's going to be a 3-4, and this year Stackhouse is going to be stuff in that middle is what you're going to end up doing. And then, of course, we've got the Jaire Alexander answer, non-answer, that I'm still completely flummoxed by this entire situation. So he's asked, basically, if Jaire is back, you know, what would that bring to this defense? And Justice, I swear, like, this feels like a pretty easy, like, yeah, you know what? Like, right now he's on the roster. You know, we're kind of, you know, just kind of taking things as if he's on the team right now. If we find out differently, we'll adjust. But obviously, Jaw's a tremendous corner. And if he's back, you know, we're really excited to have him. Whatever the case may be, I'm expecting like, you know, just general answer, like, he's on the roster right now. We're treating it as such. And it was the exact opposite. So I don't even know what direction to read anything in anymore. I'm completely at a loss.
I've been so confused by the story for months. It feels like whiplash every single time anyone opens their mouth. It's just like, oh yeah, he's definitely gone. Like it's like that whole joke thing where, you know, it's so over and, you know, we've never been so back, right? And just alternating between those two things. I feel like I've been doing this for months. I have no idea what the hell is going on here.
I don't either. I Justice, if I were to bet almost anything, just based on what is coming out of the mouths of everyone within 1265, the players, Jaire himself at the end of the season last year, where he's like, I don't even know if I'm going to be on the team. I don't know why you want me to talk. I don't have anything positive to say anyway.
Hey, Rich said everyone was mad, though. Everyone was mad. So everyone was frustrated about that. So you can't trust what they're saying in the heat of the moment. Yes.
For Keyshawn to say he's going to be cornerback one. There was the interview with Josh Jacobs where it like very much seemed like he was about to say whatever team he ends up on. And then he like quickly caught himself and was like, nope, not going to say that. To every single time Goody talks about it, basically he's talking about him like, yeah, he's on the team for now. That's how we're proceeding for now. And it's just like for now. For every time Matt LaFleur, now Jeff Hafley's asked about it, there's not a single interaction this entire offseason with anyone within 1265 that's been asked about Jaire that I could point to anything and be like, oh, I guess that kind of could potentially mean like everything would indicate he gone. Yet here we are. We get the reports from Domovsky originally. We get the report from, was it Ian Rappaport originally? Like they're looking to trade him. And then we got confirmation. Yeah. Domovsky saying, you know, basically either, you know, trade or like they didn't even go to him with a, you know, reconstruction or of the contract or anything or restructure the contract. All of that seems to be in one direction. After the draft takes place and everyone's like, see, nobody, they didn't even take somebody until the seventh round. Clearly, it's going to be back. Silver Spoon comes and says, nope, same thing, status quo. He's not going to be back. And then all of a sudden, Domofsky comes. It's like, actually, there's one other option and they are potentially reconciling. And then even that, I was like, that could be like the final call of like, hey, let's put this out there. Let's put the feelers out to see, just to show every other team, hey, we could get back together if you want Jay, or make that final trade off right now, because he's going to just end up being a Packer still. And then we, of course, get the freaking Peter Schrager update last week where it's like, yep, he's actually in a really good, they're in a really good spot, actually, like the Green Bay and Jair, like they're best pals.
Trust no one, not even yourself, dude. Yeah. I don't know what the hell is going on here. Like, the only thing I can imagine at this point, through everything that has happened, is Jair said, I want my money, right? Packers say, okay, we're looking in the trade market. No one wants to give us a pick for you to get paid that money. Let's work on a contract restructure. And Jair saying, basically being like, okay, I'll do it, but you got to kiss the ring, right? That can be the only holdup. Because where else do you even go from here?
The only other thing go ahead.
Like, I don't know what their issue with Jair is. I know they've, you know, the reporting has been, you know, they didn't like that they couldn't trust Jair on a week-to-week basis to be able to suit up, right? But this is the guy who pushed through injury to the point that he's re-injured himself early on in games several times. I don't know if there's like something more happening behind the scenes that we don't know of, and there needs to be like amends that need to be made. And we just haven't hit that hurdle yet or what, but he was involved in the virtual stuff, right? Draft week, they started their offseason program. So you would figure amends would be made before then. I couldn't tell you, Andy.
The only other thing I could think about is, would there be a situation, because there's reports that teams have, like, basically the Packers and another team or two have like come to terms on an agreement, but it takes a contract restructure for Jair, and Jair saying like, no dice, I'd just cut me and I'd rather be a free agent. Would Green Bay take on any of that money and convert it to signing bonus so that they would be the ones that would take on that cap hit? Basically say, we'll take it on. You're going to get paid the same. We'll take it on. Then you get to go to this team. We get compensation in return. We'll take on some additional salary cap. We'll get a fourth round pick in return, because we're going to take on a decent size of like half of the contract or something like that. And some team is willing to give that up, and if they can get him at like half the cost or whatever. That would be the only other thing that I could think of, is if they would be willing to maybe eat some of that contract themselves and try to work something out. And even then, unless they can do the simple restructure, which I'm not sure if they can or not, they might need Jair's permission to do some of that. I don't know. But like, that would be the only other thing I could think of, is, are they trying to work out something where maybe they eat a little bit of the money on their end to make this work?
So Brock Osweiler in 2017, the cash swap for that was $16 million for a second round pick.
Yep.
Half of Jair's deal would be 8.5.
Yep. So we're the fourth rounder.
So like early fourth, late third, like probably late third.
Yeah. So maybe,
and it's, I just last don't know if the team is going to do that. Like, for the right price, sure. Never say never, right? Like, if some team wants to give us a first round pick for it, have fun. But the price that makes sense is probably for a good football team, a third round pick. I don't know if a team is going to be willing to do that. I mean, maybe like, plus then, like, are you doing it in the NFC?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Like, too. One of those teams would have been one of those teams who are cap strapped and would probably be willing to do it, are the Eagles.
True. You don't want to do that.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's really hard to manage those kinds of things from an optics perspective, even if it is, you know, maybe the right thing to do. Plus, again, the reason why the Packers want to shed Jair's salary isn't because of
the 2025 salary cap. It's because they want to have that cap space to be able to roll over into 2026 when they're over the cap. So
for sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. And for there, it's probably just worth it them at that point to just release it, not take on any of the cap and just kind of move on from it. Yeah. I'm at a loss. I have no idea what happens next. Like, you could tell me anything. Like, you could tell me anything at this point. You'd be like, they signed him to a 5-year extension. He's the highest paid corner in football. I'd be like, sure. Why the heck not? Like, well, of course they did. Like, I just have no idea anymore.
I got no clue. I'm of no help to anyone on this story. I'm just, yeah, man. Jaw's a little bit weird. So it's like even harder to figure this one out.
I'm like trying to like even like rack my brain in real time of like what could possibly be like the holdup here. And I don't know. It's interesting.
You made me Google Brock Osweiler cash swap in the middle of a podcast.
You're welcome.
In May.
These are the weird things that my mind goes through. Justice is like figuring out what weirdo possible things could be going on of like, I don't know. GMs are weird. Players are weird. Teams are weird. And weird things happen. And you can never know what the heck's going to happen next. And this feels like one of those really weird ones where it's just seemingly impossible to predict at the moment. Bears-Packers week 16 is one little leak that we've got. Not leak, but like official word that we got. That's going to be in Chicago. Based on previous schedule stuff, that would potentially mean that the Packers might play on Christmas, likely against the Commanders, but we have not received official word. Not a fan of the Christmas game?
No, dude, it sucks so bad. I hate working on Christmas. I hate working on Thanksgiving. I'm pretty much cool with everything else. That stuff sucks. Because I already, like, my parents are separated and my girlfriend's parents, they all live, like, within, like, a 30-mile radius. And then I have my grandma, too. So, I'm stretched thin on holidays already. Throwing a football game in there and work is a pain in my ass. I do not love that.
Christmas Day is better for me than Christmas Eve. Christmas Day at night, especially, like, pretty much I'm done with Christmas Eve. And then up until like about 11 a.m. on Christmas Day is kind of like our Christmas. And then it's kind of just chill after that. So if it's like a 3 p.m. or a night game on Christmas, it's not going to be the night game on Christmas. We already know that's what Denver KC, but if it's 3 p.m. I can swing it. Anything else is a little bit tough.
So my in-laws, it's sitting around and you like sit in a circle and it's like each person individually unwraps a single present.
Love it.
And it just goes, I've never had that before. Takes a lot of time. Plus on West Coast time, right? So everything's starting late for me already, or early for me, I guess, already. And then it's big breakfast. Then I could finally go to like game stuff. Like I'm catching like the second half of, if it's not a Packers game, I'm catching like the second half of the game maybe. And then I'm having to bounce around, go to all three of my family's Christmases. So yeah, man, please.
Well, I hope for your sake, Packers.
The other thing too, Thanksgiving coincides with my birthday sometimes. So we get the double up on that. And then I can't just be like, oh yeah, I'm just having one Thanksgiving at this one spot. Like, no, we want to see you for your birthday. And I'm like, oh God, bounce around again.
I don't mean to be selfish here on my end, but I think for Packers Nation, you're just gonna have to figure out some family members might need to be cut from the rotation a little bit here. Like you got to.
I've thought long and hard. Yes, dude, cuts are coming. The competition is there.
This is the
Drew Rosenhaus has reached out to the Mosqueda household to see if their roles are still staying. Yeah, no. It's coming one day. I've made the joke to Addie too. I'm like, we're just going to host. And she's like, you're not going to host anything. That means I'm going to host. I'm going to be doing everything. True. I'm like, all right. Well, I didn't really think it out beyond me not wanting to move.
I will say this. One of the biggest perks of moving to this as my full-time job is I now have like, so I got to work. Like I do have like certain how, like there was times before where like, we have two early December birthdays that are right next to each other. And, there'd be like, yep, we're getting everyone together for like the birthdays and stuff like that. And I remember very specifically, I think it was the year, it might've been the year the Packers won the Super Bowl. Cause there was a Packers Falcons game earlier that year, I believe that they lost to the Falcons, if I remember correctly. I think that was the year. And it was Packers Falcons, huge game. And like, I'm like, oh yes, this is great. And then like, it's like, well, birthdays are exactly on during that game. And there was no football on in the, and I'm like, just, ugh. Now it's like, I'm so sorry. that's not going to work. I got to work on that day. And it's totally understandable. Like it's never been a question. It's been great, but that's been the one of the big perks of going full time.
Yeah. The, that game, by the way, that Bears game is a Saturday. It's going to be part of the Fox head to head once the college football season regular season ends, but it's going head to head with the college football first round of the playoffs triple header that is going to be on ESPN. So yeah, NFL, NCAA, they're scrapping it out for these unclaimed, unprotected Saturdays that aren't protected by like, what is it? The Sports Broadcast Act of like 1961 or whatever it is.
I saw you post it. I just took your word for it. I was not going to research it. I took your word for it. NFL's coming at everyone. Christmas Day games, NBA. Nope. Sorry. Those are ours now.
Off my corners. Yep.
Yeah. They're just taking everything. Like we said, holidays, NFL's taking
over. It's only going to get, I'm telling you guys, it's only going to get worse with the streaming stuff because the streaming stuff, they're going to figure out more people are watching these island games instead of, you know, the, for me, you know, West Coast time, 10 a.m. Sunday. And they're just going to say, why can't we make more of the island games and make fewer of the, you know, early games on Sunday?
Yep.
And I know for a fact, because I write this up every single time and I, you know, every single year with the schedule, I know for a fact Packers fans don't like that. Packers fans love the earlier Sunday game, right? The 1 p.m. kick. But I think we're going to get fewer and fewer of those moving forward.
Here's my my crazy proposal, and then we'll get out of here. So you've got divisional round games, right? That gets you through, like, you're going to play everyone in your division, you know, three times a piece or whatever. That gets you six games. And then you also have basically like another division that you play. Like, you could probably stretch this out even a little bit further, but let's just say like the 6 weeks. You could theoretically, if you wanted to, say Monday nights are going to be, for the first 6 weeks of the season, Monday nights are going to be AFC North football. Tuesday night's going to be NFC North. Wednesday's going to be AFC South. Thursday's going to be NFC South. Friday's going to be West. Saturday's going to be West. And then Sunday's going to be East and East. We're going to double up on Sundays. And then you could just do it at like for a six blocks of the season where literally every night is two games of football. And then on you get four on Sundays or whatever. You could dominate the entire week justice with NFL for a month and a half to start the season, then give everyone a bye and then start over and do your actual schedule every night football for 6 weeks to start the year. Are you ready for some football?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, the double Monday night things are going to be interesting too, moving forward. Right. We just saw the NFL's trying to expand to Australia and Asia. I don't know if you guys know what the time zones work out like that. There's a reason why these NBA games tip off so late. I see people complain about it a lot. So it'll be easier for me than the London games, but I don't know how many East Coast dads are going to stay up for the second Monday night game. Because I think they'll push it. You know, I think they'll run the Monday night game and then at like halftime start another one on ESPN2 or whatever. I know. All right, last tangent. Did you see what the a la carte ESPN price is? So ESPN is doing a la carte. Their family of networks, you can get it outside of the structure of cable, YouTube, TV, all that stuff.
I did not see this.
What do you think the price is per month?
For like when you say a la carte, for just ESPN or like the entire bucket of ESPN?
ESPN family of networks. ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News.
Gotcha. So you get all the ESPNs. Okay. Mm-hmm. $14.99 per month.
$30.
Wow. I was going to say $20, and then I'm like, that seems aggressive because of all like Netflix, Amazon are so much less. That's wild. What's ESPN Plus? Like, so don't they have like the Disney?
Yeah, I think they're like dropping that. They're like, it's basically going to be ESPN Plus, but then it has all the normal channels and now they're dropping the Plus and they're just going to call it all ESPN. It doesn't matter. But in the context of streaming, how much they think they can charge, all that stuff, you know, the context of all these island games and things, ESPN basically has college football and then Monday Night Football at this point.
Yeah.
They don't have that much on there in terms of the broadcast. Like they passed on a lot of options. And when I say college football, I mean SEC, right? They don't even have Big Ten football anymore, right? Yeah. So now extrapolate that to the NFL, right?
how much do you have to charge for that? How many island games do you take away from the morning kicks on Sundays to be able to charge that, right? You know, if we're going to be doing this, we can't have seven games on in the morning slate on Sunday, because fans can only watch one of those games at a time. We're trying to have people sit down and basically only watch the NFL in all of their free time if they want to watch this league. So it's coming, folks.
You're going to pay for Sunday ticket, which is $1 billion. And then you're going to pay for YouTube TV because of that. Then you're going to pay, you know, another $30 for ESPN. Then you're going to pay another like $20 for Amazon and Peacock to get those. And Netflix now has games, so there's another $20.
Oh, and so help me God, Apple TV doesn't get it, would get one too.
Oh, I'm sure
they will. They'll get the Tuesday night package. They'll get the Wednesday morning package.
I swear to God, NFL, if you make me get like the Roku channel or some crap, I'm out. That's where I draw the line. I draw the line on the Roku channel. I don't even know what you have to do to get that, but I don't want to find out.
What is a Paramount Plus?
I have a Paramount Plus because of freaking Champions League. I've got Paramount Plus for that. I don't have Roku. I have Peacock. I've got Paramount Plus. I've got Netflix. I've got Apple TV. I've got YouTube TV. I'm sure I have other things. I have Max. I'm sure there's others.
See, that's where I spend my time. Like, if I have free time and I'm watching stuff, it's usually on the HBO Max.
Oh, Disney Plus. There's another I got. Hulu. We're up to like eight or nine. It's insane. Yeah. I miss cable. I just miss cable.
Sometimes Addie's watching something, and then I'm like, oh, what's that on? And then I'm like, Paramount Plus. I'm like, dog, are we paying every month on Paramount? Like, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah, like, it's a nightmare.
I don't know if we could be paying money for all these damn services. I'm ready for the subscription bubble to pop.
Yeah, I know.
I'm ready. Consolidate.
It's a problem.
You want everyone else to consolidate in America. How about you guys take some medicine?
As long as everyone is subscribed to the Pack-A-Day podcast, and as long as everyone's checking out acmepackingcompany.com every single day and following Justice Muscat on Twitter at JUMOSQ, and me at Andy Herman NFL. That's all we need. That's all you need. We'll cover you for all the rest. Justice, amazing stuff as always. Thank you so much for your time. What do you got cooking this week?
Schedule release is coming out, right? So yep. Hopefully we don't get any weird wonky stuff, but if we do, you know, I'll write out about it. Whether it's, hey, this is a super easy stretch in the season, or this is a not so easy stretch in the season. I want to get a bunch of posts up on just like, things that collide, whether it's, you know, hey, games on Thanksgiving, hey, games on Christmas, hey, games on New Year's Eve, whatever. You know, we already mentioned that Bears game, right? Where you look at it and you're like, oh, okay. Schedule is probably clear on December 20th. And then it's like, nope, college football playoff triple header. You forgot about that. That's going head to head with that.
All the Packers Badgers fans will not have to worry about a conflict. So we're safe there.
We'll see. What? It's hard. Like, it's hard.
What do you mean? Now. Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Winning Big Ten. Is it tough?
When you're the Badgers,
you did it year one. I'm sure you guys could.
No, not even when you get Russell Wilson, not even when you got JJ Watt, not even when you got, it just doesn't work out that way. TJ Watt doesn't matter.
Well, you run into that buzzsaw in the Rose Bowl, right? That's your problem.
Ohio State or now you or Penn State and or Michigan or just, yeah.
Whoa. Penn State has done nothing to deserve this. That's where I draw my line is Penn State.
That's fair. That's probably fair. All right. Follow him at JUMOSQ. Follow him on acmepackingcompany.com. Of course, you can find us on the Pack-A-Day podcast and at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for Justice and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.